Force with you, young Skywalker. You are not a Jedi yet.
I had to play that. All the ads for the Star Wars for Kinect have been going on all weekend.
Man, I sat down and watched, well, at least part of it. I watched the Star Wars version of Family Guy last night. So hilarious. I was laughing so hard. It was so great.
Good morning to our peoples out there. I'm sorry, I saw Virgin Gaming. We really need to talk about them some more. Virgin Gaming is probably the ones hosting that whole Maxim contest. Yeah. I've been asked to write something else for Yahoo, so I think I'm going to have to mention that over there. I know. Yeah. Good morning to Joe Hill and Horace out there. The preview play. Why am I saying hello to you? We don't really know you, but hello to you. Buongiorno. Bonjour.
Buongiorno.
I think they're, I may be saying that wrong. Buenos dias? Is it buenos dias?
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Yes, buenos dias.
Oh, God, the coffee just hit my system. Jessica Napier, all you peoples out there.
Yes, yes. Sorry, I was trying to finish my rice cake. You people want your news way too early, I'm telling you. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, say hello to Deborah, too. Deborah.dreamwith.org, also one of the disabled gamers. Well, she's not one of the crew, but she said she loves us. Thank you.
And
we're more than a both, too. She said both. We're more than a both. There's a whole gang of us over here.
Yes, yes. There is, yeah. There's more than us.
Yeah, some people just don't like to talk on the air looking at you, mom blogger.
I know. She needs to come and sit in with us. Come on, man.
She has another show that she does that has nothing to do with gaming, and she's like, I don't want these people. I don't want to cross-pollinate. Like, yeah, you cross-pollinate. You bring them everywhere you go. You bring your
crap. Hell yeah.
Everywhere you go.
Like, dude, I'm always pollinating. I'm pollinating all over the place. Pollinating now.
I don't even know what to say to that. I have no response to that. Wow. I am even more disorganized than I normally am this morning. Usually I'm organized chaos. I got nothing this morning, really.
I have a couple of things. Yeah, it's a little slow today. I'm not quite sure where everybody is this morning, but...
I got news. I just, there's a couple things I had planned to mention. Like, oh, well, one of them is this. I do remember this. We have joined Pinterest.
Yay, have we?
Yes. I'll give you the information later. So you, because you're the one who's.
Not just news for you, it's news for me, too.
Well, it was a kind of a fly. Y'all, when we tell y'all we're busy or I'm busy, I am doing something every minute of every day. If I'm sitting still, that means I don't feel well.
Same story. I mean, it's like 4 a.m. I wake up because I can't sleep. She is already working on something.
Yeah, sadly. I was up at 3:45 this morning. I've been up since 3:45.
See? No.
And still, there's not enough hours in the day. If I could just get me a 48-hour day going, it'd be just, bam, be awesome.
I woke up about that time, but it was mainly because I realized why I had a headache right about then. I left my
drinking
in my hair.
Drinking?
Oh. No, it was like those butterfly clips.
Oh, I had
one of those in the back of my hair yesterday, and I forgot about it. And when I went to bed, I didn't take it out because I was so exhausted. I hit the sheets, and that was it.
Well, this is neither here nor there, and I can't find the name of these clips, but I would highly recommend them. Actually, a woman made them for women of color because the normal hairpins usually pull our hair a little more. But I'm going to say they probably work for everybody. But it's a big hairpin, you know, like the bobby pins, but
yeah.
It's curved in the shape of your head. So you only need the one. You know how we like to, because you like to pin your hair up. I pin my hair up and I just slide it right in, and it doesn't pull. I can sleep in it. And when I go to take my hair down, you know, to have that Pocahontas effect, you girls know what I'm talking about. You know, when you're with the guy, you take your hair down and shake it out, bam. Then when you go to put it back up, twist, slide.
Oh, where'd you find this?
Walmart.
I have so much hair. Walmart?
Walmart. It's very long, and it's curved. It shapes in the back of your head. And it's,
it's a
round thing. It comes with, like, 25. And you won't use all of them unless you're, like, pinning your hair up like Adele or something. But, yeah, really nice.
I mean, because seriously, I do. I have so much hair. I have horribly, horribly thick hair. I have to buy those big rubber bands, you know, the hair bands?
Yeah.
Because those small ones will only go around my hair about once, and that's it. I can't even double it.
Wow. Ginger, you should sell that stuff.
I have a lot of hair.
You should sell that to Locks of Love.
I should. I should just start collecting the crap, because I'm always shedding.
Wait, because that's how I do it.
Huh?
I say, and wear wigs. That's how I do it. Next year, not this year on my birthday, which I like to point out to you all in 2 weeks.
I really won't take my hair because I keep dyeing it.
They don't care because they're going to dye it anyway. They're going to wash it and dye it or something. So they don't care. They don't care.
That's cool.
Yeah, they put it into a nice little weft and stuff. And, yes, I'm the hair niece around here, too. Shoes, hair, and purses, which I want to know. Okay, so games. We forgot about games.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're here for, isn't it? Games. Our bad.
It is. You guys are here for gaming news. I was stalling until I got my charts together because, you know, last week we didn't get charts until Wednesday, so I didn't share them with you. But I got charts this week. Ginger's got news. I got news. We all got news.
We do. We have so much news. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you want me to start? Because I got a fight, and this is going to be a pretty interesting fight, actually.
Fight! Okay, go.
All right, so, you know, I'm pulling this stuff from Game Politics. Tanks in EA's Tiberium Alliances look eerily similar to tanks in Warhammer 40K.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Like I said, this is going to be a good fight. Two Reddit users have compared the tanks from Games Workshop's tabletop game Warhammer 40,000 with tanks in EA's free-to-play online strategy title Tiberium Alliances. These side-by-side comparisons shows that the tanks in EA's games look suspiciously similar. Can y'all see how congested I am? All right, suspiciously similar to the tanks from Games Workshop's popular game universe. Reddit users Brojangles and Corvirus posted pictures that show Tiberium Alliance's Grinder and Bombard tanks and the Orc Bonecruncher and Imperial Guard Baneblade. The source pictures for the Tiberium Alliance's vehicles have been released as promotional wallpaper for the game. When asked for a comment on the comparison, EA told GameSpot, "We are looking into this, and we will get back to you." In other words, uh-oh! Apparently, they are still looking into it as of this writing. While EA does license some content from Warhammer, Maker Games Workshop... can't talk.
Spit out, woman!
I'm trying. Mm-hmm. While EA does license some content from Warhammer Maker Games Workshop, it does not hold the license to the Warhammer 40,000 franchise. EA operates the Warhammer Online Age of Reckoning MMO and free-to-play Facebook game Warhammer Online Wrath of Heroes. This is going to be a good fight if they use something that they shouldn't have.
Right. Okay, are you done, Ginger? You just stop talking. Ginger, hello.
I'm coughing my head off, seriously.
Poor baby.
Hard. I know. All right, I think while you do the next one, I'm going to go grab some stuff to make me stop coughing because, oh, my God.
All right, well, we have a, remember that game, Skullgirls? Hello. Oh, I forgot. She went to go. What am I doing? Okay, so the game Skullgirls, made by Reverge Labs and publisher Autumn Games, said they're going to change publishing. Last week, a new 2D fighting game, Skullgirls, was released for Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. The game was developed by Reverge Labs and published by Autumn Games, and Konami Games Industry International spoke with Richard Wyckoff, totally threw me, who's the co-founder of Reverge, and Alex Colmer, who's the co-founder of Odd Games, about the game and the circumstances around the publication of Skullgirls. Reverge chose to go with another publisher, Autumn Games, rather than deal directly with Microsoft and Sony. They said there were several issues, not the least of which is we needed the money to finish the game, said Wyckoff. It's difficult to self-publish on consoles. I've heard you get a different deal as an independent than you if you go through a publisher. Reverge met with Autumn Games at E3 back in 2010 and saw a partner that could help them get their game together. Says we pretty much knew that we were going to work with them. I can't talk either. Though it did take that summer to negotiate a deal, said Wyckoff. Autumn's funding for Skullgirls lets us bring our team together and open our physical office, basically, is why we've become established. Reverge saw their skills as being in development, and they knew they needed not only funding, but help to keep help in marketing, working with console manufacturers and getting the most out of their game as well, since we needed the help of someone with dedicated resources and publishing experience to make sure Skullgirls got exposure and to navigate all the public steps to the process. It will have it would have been too much for us on our own, Wyckoff said. We get the added benefit of having this small but very passionate publisher with the resources like marketing and all sorts of contracts to do things with the project we would never have thought of or been able to do on our own. One of the best examples is the Autumn part. That Autumn partnered with Mashon.com, and they offer a plug-in T-shirt, etc., store on your website, users where users can customize their own goods using artwork that you supply. This has proven to be wildly popular even before our launch because we have lots of great art. We wouldn't have been able to negotiate that kind of deal or even know where to look for it if it hadn't been for Autumn. Reverge looks to release regular DLC for Skullgirls and to leverage the work, while Ginger tears our ears up, the work they've done.
Sorry.
The artwork. So this is a big part of our relationship with Autumn, Wyckoff noted. Many publishers, when we were pitching Skullgirls, took it as a more typical indie project. This is pretty cool. We might want to make some changes to it. We'll watch it. But Autumn immediately said as an entire IP that could be extended, not just with DLC, but into new games of various other types, all of which we're very eager to work on. Wyckoff was clear on the value of creating an IP that can be extended to multiple titles. He says, I don't think it makes any sense anymore, even for smaller developers like ourselves, to do one-off projects, and that's one time for you Americans. One-off means one time. Okay. So there's so much more and great art that goes into creating a new game. The more that we can use it in different places, the better. Congratulations to you guys. This is a very long piece, so we're going to cut this short. We have not gotten to play Skullgirls. I think they mentioned it to us, but it may have been a while ago.
I know. I've been wanting to play it. It looks so awesome.
It is a fighting game. The characters are slightly hypersexualized, but not so much so that it is super, super offensive.
Yeah.
It's stereotypical things like you got the nurse. I think the nurse is probably the worst one that I saw with the boobs out and the school nurses at it. You know.
Yeah,
it's probably the worst, but not bad. Yeah, I haven't seen anybody else that I would be like, okay, guys, that's ridiculous. Stop it. But anyway, good luck to them. I know you guys wanted us to play. Send it over. We'll do it.
Yeah, send it on over. I'll play.
You know what we keep getting a lot of this past week? Tower defense games. I don't know what's going on. This must be the year of tower defense. Is there something going on we need to know about and that you guys know that we don't?
I don't know, but I liked that one. I can't even think of what it's called now.
Unstoppable Gorg.
Unstoppable Gorg, yeah.
That one that we got that we have free codes for that none of you seem to want for some reason.
Oh, my God. Seriously, people?
I'm just going to start randomly giving these out to people.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start just handing them to Ginger and putting them up and say give them out.
I can do that.
But Joe has claimed one of the Guinness Book of World Records books. Joe, we've not forgotten you. I just did not get to the post office. I got a flat tire. Oh. Redhead at Pop the Lock here in Houston came and rescued me. He is so gorgeous. A little too young for me, but gorgeous. Any of you younger girls out there in your like early 20s and teens, he's cute. I'll hook you up.
I'll hook you up. That's awesome.
I didn't see no ring on it. And he can change a tire. He's got tools. Word.
I have to give you a tip, girls with mechanics. You cannot trust the no ring thing because the ring could mean the loss of a hand in mechanic world.
This is true, but there was not even a shadow. Usually they have a tan or something, or he just didn't. He didn't get married. Usually the married guys don't usually smile at you and flirt and all that. Okay. Ooh, he was a cutie too.
Oh,
loves me a redhead. That's why we love Ginger so much. I love me a redhead.
Yes, my hair. Yeah, this new color because I dyed it red again. So. All right. So retake Mass Effect 3 sees few refund requests from Child's Play charity drive. Despite being shut down prematurely by the charity it was raising funds for because they said people thought they were paying money to change the ending of Mass Effect 3, the retake Mass Effect 3 Child's Play event was a rousing success. The protest charity drive managed to rake in over $80,000. Despite the assertions of Child's Play, who had asked the retake people to pull the plug for the aforementioned reason, very few people asked for a refund. In other words, people knew where the money was going, to children. PayPal disputes are not uncommon. People have stolen cards, donate in error to a host of other things. We are always happy to refund money, says Child's Play project manager Jamie Dillion told Joystick. It does make it impossible, though, to pinpoint which refunds may have been from Retake Mass Effect and which are related to regular disputes. Essentially, there were a handful of people who requested their donation return, which we did. The large majority of the funds were not returned and will be distributed to the hospitals as normal. The writer says, no matter what you think of the retake Mass Effect 3 movement and the people who supported it, they did a lot of good for Child's Play. Ultimately, they could have raised a lot more, and having the plug pulled on it seems like a big mistake. Had they been able to continue, maybe they could have raised thousands more for the charity. And I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I understand that Child's Play was being given a hard time, and they really don't want their name.
They don't want that charity associated with something.
Yeah. They don't want it to come down to, you know, our charity was totally backing this, and, you know, now we have people who would usually back us who are backing out.
Well, you know, nobody was going to take their money back anyway after they realized, oh, by the way, you're not paying for the Mass Effect ending, it's going to our children. If you took your money back, you look like the worst person ever. So they were not taking their money back.
Money back.
Yeah.
You were the worst person in the world if you took that money back.
Well, I got so much good stuff. I don't even know where to start. I got a bunch of good stuff. Okay. Why am I an up-and-coming cougar? Is this a...
Oh, my God. That's
what Horace just called me. You know what? Why do I have to be an up-and-coming cougar? That's a whole double standard you men have. There's old men in their 60s dating 20-something-year-old girls. You don't call them a tiger. He's just cool. Why can't women that date younger men just be cool? Anyway.
I mean, personally, I cannot deal with younger guys. I got to have an older one. But
No, take that back. There was one younger one. One.
There's always just the one for us girls. The one that is mind blowing because he doesn't act like a young guy's wife.
Yes. Something needs to come back to SO.
Oh, that one. Rare. La, 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 la. The rest of you don't. Okay, it's time for some charts, and my coffee has kicked in. Woo! Okay, so what have you all been playing? Odd things. This past week, here is our top 10 charts. Number 10. SSX.
Number 10.
SSX. Number 9.
9.
You're off. Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. Stop tweeting me.
Tweeter harder.
Stop tweeting me. Number 8.
Number 8.
Battlefield 3. Number 7.
Number 7.
The Elder Scrolls. Skyrim. The Elder Scrolls Skyrim. Who is Jay tweeting me?
I have no idea.
Okay, where was I? Oh, number 6.
Number 6.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 5.
Number 5.
You notice I'm pausing for her. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 13. Number 4.
Number 4.
Connect Star Wars. Number 3.
3.
FIFA 12. FIFA 12 is still in. Wow. Number 2.
Number 2. Because, you know, one needs one.
Mass Effect 3. And number 1.
Number 1.
Ding, 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 ding. FIFA Street. What are you
doing? With really, people?
FIFA Street. I don't know what is. You people are.
Soccer playing fools, man.
I keep telling you, I got to see what's going on. I went to the Red Box because I told you the Red Box gave me a bunch of free codes because I couldn't get to Call of Duty that weekend.
Oh.
So they wanted to shut me up because y'all know Corey got a big mouth. I'm all over Twitter. I'm standing outside in front of the Red Box game evangelizing. You don't want to get any games in here. Hallelujah. There's no Call of Duty in this machine. Amen. Hail to the Master Chief. Okay, so anyway, there's no FIFA Street in the machine. Just... There was nothing in there. I think I pushed the Red Box too much. Everybody in Houston is like renting games. The machines are empty. That or you guys need to stock more games. Gamers don't play.
No kidding. Give us more games.
And we're in a recession. Oh, mm-hmm. My God. People are over just trying to buy games.
You know what I thought was so cool? I went and I finally saw Hunger Games yesterday in the theaters.
Did you?
They've started doing refills on their... On their popcorn.
They've also done refills here.
Dude, no, here, no. It was like, you buy a bucket, you want a second bucket, you buy the second bucket. This came with a refill. I was like, oh, hey, look, it has a little tab.
That's nice.
Like, well, that's new. Yeah, but so, they need know, to... I had popcorn during the movie, and then I got it refilled as I was on my way out the door.
That's something I'd be like, I'm going to take this home. You don't mind, do you?
It was good, man. About all I had yesterday was popcorn.
It's my provocative. No, Taurus. I'm talking for the day for that wrong word on purpose. I'm angry.
Okay.
I'm purpose. Good morning, Snow White, who was up. She decided that was one of her, she was one of the people who just texted me to tell me she was tired. I says, shall we call you on air? She's not going to answer. Oh. I'd tell her, if you don't answer, we're going to call you anyway. She won't answer if we call her. Should have just called her. I got a story, actually. Let me jump in here.
Oh, okay.
Because this is amazing, and it you know, homage must be paid. So VentureBeat is reporting this morning, an unemployed game designer created what they're calling a mind-blowing solar system explorer app. And you have to see this. I will tweet this. You can go over and watch it on YouTube. This is from one Mr. Christopher Albaloon. I hope I'm saying your name, Albaloon. He's an unemployed game designer who recently I was trying to see where he worked. It didn't say. Anyway, the game was spotlighted on Reddit by his roommate. And there's just it currently has 70,000 views, and it's called The Solar System Explore Your Backyard. I'm trying to make sure I copy so we can tweet it. He explained his story. He was actually interviewed by Indiegogo on his Indiegogo page, which he's taking donations for. I watched the video. I got to say, I'm mind blown. And we normally try, not that we hate you guys out there, but we usually try to give this kind of love to our girls. But this is really amazing. I can't, you know, girl or guy, this is amazing. Ginger. Okay.
Totally, totally amazing.
He's saying he is intending on adding some more to the app, including dwarf planets, satellites, and more detailed models of NASA satellite paths.
That is hot.
Yeah. So after he's done with the PC version of the app, he's going to port it over to iOS and Android. He's not sure.
Android.
He's not sure how long it's going to take him. I'm trying to read down and tweet at the same time. See, sometimes I have trouble doing multitasking. He says he's almost nearly completed, but he needs to find a way to distribute the game. I say some of you companies out there, you Ubisoft, you Microsoft, EA, I hate to send him to EA, but, you know, got to make his money. Steam, maybe you need to get on helping him. Actually, he said there's a demo build he sent to Steam to see if they'd be interested in featuring it in a simulation section.
Well, that'd be cool.
I don't know if this counts as a simulation because I think people are misunderstanding the what a simulation game means. It means it simulates a certain thing, but the player actually gets to interact it. So I don't know if you can. I'm assuming that not, because it's not saying you did. Right now, he is needing about $8,000. So if 8,000 of you are listening, and I know we have more than 8,000 listeners, guys, go over to drop him a dollar. 8,000 of you, that's 8,000. Bam, it's a dollar. That's a pack of gum, a candy bar. He's also saying he's been talking to Epic. Once it's cleared, then he'll be putting all his money into converting it to four different formats, your iOS, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android. He says, just give him something. Please help him.
Yes, please help him.
It
sounds awesome.
It really is amazing. I just tweeted a link to his page and everything. Go and look at it.
I got
to
see.
Yeah, go and look. It's beautiful. It kind of reminds me of Spore, ironically. And Spore, of course, is based on fictional solar systems. But, you know, Spore is amazing in and of itself because you actually get to interact with the solar system. So I don't know what he's going to do here, if he's actually doing that, but it's still amazing that he did this while he was unemployed.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you people, even when you don't have a job, sometimes just find something to do. And there's always ways to earn money. If you need to, if you're out there and you're trying to figure out a way to earn some money and you're broke and you're a developer, give us a call because, you know, me and Jim will come up with different ways to get some money in your pocket. It won't be much, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Money's money.
All right, and since you mentioned EA, and I happen to see this in the title, EA changes policy on account suspensions and single-player gaming.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. Electronic Arts has quietly changed its policy on suspended accounts. Prior to the changes, if you had a suspended Origin and related form account for saying or doing naughty or disagreeable things, the company would ban your account and make your own games unplayable, even in single-player mode. The new policy
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's wrong. That's wrong.
The new policy as of April 8th, 2011 is, with every game and service EA offers, we take the satisfaction of our customers very seriously. We discourage cheating and strive to maintain a high level of integrity in both our games and our forums. To this end, we will hide inappropriate content and we will take action on any origin accounts that violate the terms of service TOS based on the severity of the offense. If you find yourself with a disabled account, please note that you can still play EA games in single-player mode. For PC games, you'll need to enable Origin's offline mode to play games with a disabled account. Go to the Settings tab in Origin, the gear icon, and select Go Offline. If your account has been disabled, please follow the instruction in this article if you wish to appeal the action. They say, please note, the majority of banned or suspended accounts are only suspended temporarily. Find more information about the length of your suspension by checking the email address associated with your account. Awesome. So it looks like they've at least changed it so you can play single-player mode. So just, you know what? Why do you need to cheat anyways?
I understand them disabling multiplayer mode, and you should, but if I paid for a game, regardless of whether I was cheating or not, because sometimes people get false cues, you should not disable my single-player. That's what I'm disagreeing with.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me saying, okay, I'm outside, I got milk, I'm pouring it on cars, and you say, okay, we're not going to sell you any more milk. That's fine. Or you say, you know, you can't come outside with your milk. It's different from you can't ever have milk again.
Yeah, exactly.
I paid for it. Now, it's not my right to pour it on other people if they don't want it, but it's still my milk. It's still my game. It's mine. If I, you know, if I'm cheating online, that's EA servers. I don't own the server, but I did pay for this game.
Yeah. Exactly, yes.
EA, not right. Not right. And somebody that didn't do anything is going to suffer is the bad part. All right, so I have this eventful thing. Some of you have it for your city, so I was speaking with the people at Eventful, so I told them I'd throw out a couple of tech events that are going on around Houston because people think that Houston is we're a big desert town. People are riding horses through the middle of downtown. There's some cactuses. No. We have tech events, things going on. So if you know somebody who is not technologically inclined, let them know that today there is a class at a place called CompuSoft where they will teach you Microsoft Access. Also going on there is basic computer training classes. Also on-site Microsoft Office 2010 training classes today. Also Microsoft Office 2007. Also Microsoft Project classes and projects for 2010, 2007, and 2003. Whatever one they have, there's one teaching them for Excel. All this is going on today. The Excel one is going on all the way through August the 16th. Hang on, I'm not done. I'll give you the number to call in a second. You also have QuickBooks. Well, no, that's on the 22nd. Because the these are all at the same place. Okay. Let me see what else. Oh, those of you who want to learn Publisher is starting tomorrow. Your Word training classes are going on now through the July. Okay, so all of those, if you know somebody that's not technologically inclined, or maybe you are, but you're just not good with the Microsoft things you want to learn, you saw us at 713-777-7664 and tell them the Gamer Girls Radio sent you. Yay. Okay. That's not what I was going to tell you about. I got another story.
Ooh, got you got another one? What you got?
I got too much coffee, girl. Well, too much coffee. Mr. John Walker. Hi, John. Who's a veteran journalist. He's supposed to be way older than the rest of us. He's explained, and this will be one of our Thursday night things that we talk about, what's going on with the whole pre-owned versus the game developers who are angry, saying that that's the reason why games are doing so terrible, or why owners or why people are getting gypped. I'm sorry, why the developers feel like they're getting gypped. But he says it's not because of the gamer or the price tag. And he says that's not the – why can't I get this out? Used games aren't the source of all the industry's woes. The problem is how much they cost in the first place. Uh-huh. Have we not talked about this before? So he's saying the argument over reselling your games is really simple, and it's not the point of all this to get it out of the way. Imagine that you recently bought a 3DS, but deciding it's just not for you, you opt to sell it to a friend to fund the price of a PlayStation Vita. Now your friend pays you $100, and off you go. But the next day, you find a Nintendo goon at your door demanding $20 of your money. Oh, and he's also at your friend's door wanting some more money as well before he can turn it on. Now, you tell him to suck it, right? Okay. But he says this is an argument that are being made by publishers when they require a cut from shops reselling games. Now, he says you can take your hardware to your local GameStop or CEX or Game if you're in the UK, and the manufacturers aren't showing up demanding their tithe, so why this should be any different? Should this be any different for your software? And why should you, a consumer, not be allowed to resell your own property? Okay. Yeah, we'll be talking about this probably Thursday night. Even when your games are costing around $60, so it's no wonder people cannot afford to buy a full-price game. It's not even that I can't afford it. I just don't want to pay $60. That's like some groceries, that's a pedicure, and some new hair. Come on, if you know how to work it, that is.
Hair.
They said, now, this is a matter of how publishers behave, not what retailers and consumers do with the results. So with the average gaming console coming in at about 80, clocking at about 80 hours before multiplayer, and industry figures showing the average gamer only buys 9 full-price games in the lifetime of their console, they're getting around 70 hours of gaming over 5 or 6 years. If it's someone's hobby, they're probably going to want a little bit more than that. So he's saying he doesn't believe the prices are too high. Publishers can charge what they like. I'm saying the prices are too high. We jumped. The jump from the price of the games was so dramatic. It wasn't gradual. You know, we went from 30 to 60 in the space of one console. You all don't believe me. Expect your games were around 30, 39, maybe $40. We jumped to $60, not 50. It wasn't a gradual, we're going to creep up just a little bit, but 60. And their excuse is they had to fund the price of the console. Not so. You guys know Apple, that's why they're doing their cheap labor. So, yes, their game should be 99 cents. Same with Microsoft. Yes, your developers are putting a lot of hours in, but you are recouping the cost well over the amount. Well over.
Yeah.
It's not the point. So don't be mad at me because I wanted to spend 30. If that was the case, the retailers wouldn't be doing it. If there was no money made in it, they wouldn't be reselling them. So somebody somewhere is making extra, and we're paying the price. Microsoft don't even want to give us any good things anymore. They're not backing us anymore. They want to be entertainment now. They don't want to stick with us gamers.
No.
If you wanted to break up Microsoft, you should have just said so.
Sometimes breaking up is hard to do.
So the console.
I got the Wii U coming out. I ain't scared.
I got a Wii U. I don't need you.
And, you know, there's the rumor of the Steam Box. Or for now on, I am calling that damn thing the Steam Engine.
Uh-oh.
Yes, yes. I swear to God, Steam, if you make a box and you don't name it Steam Engine, I'm going to kick you in the head.
You know what? Ginger, that is absolutely correct. I like the name.
Yes. All right, so Google founder cites Apple, Facebook as threats to online freedom. Them be fighting words, I think. All right, so I'm pulling this from Games Industry. Sergey Brin warns of very powerful forces trying to restrict internet use. Google founder Sergey Brin, and I'm probably saying your name wrong, I'm so sorry, has admitted his growing concern over the very powerful forces trying to restrict freedom on the internet. In an interview with The Guardian, Brin described the efforts of governments and companies to control online activities as scary. He says, "I am more worried than I have been in the past. I thought there was no way to put the genie back in the bottle, but now it seems in certain areas the genie has been put back in the bottle." Governments in countries like China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran have been more successful in restricting internet use than Brin thought possible. Well, yeah, I mean, because where do you think genies and bottles come from? Right there.
Not right. Not right.
Right?
Not right.
But our online freedom is also under threat in subtler ways. Oh, I can't talk now. I'm too laughing. I cracked myself up. Governments in countries like China, Saudi Arabia, and Iran have been more successful in restricting internet use than Brin thought possible. Brin cited the enormous popularity of walled gardens like Facebook and the App Store as significant obstacles in the way of future innovation on the web. There's a lot to be lost, he says. For example, all the information in apps that data is not crawlable by web crawlers. You can't search it. The kind of environment that we developed Google in, the reason that we were able to develop a search engine, is the web was so open. Once you get too many rules, that will stifle innovation. He also criticized Facebook for making it difficult for users to transfer their data to other services and claimed that Facebook has been sucking down Gmail contacts for many years. Last week, Google announced a stock split that will ensure that the control of the company stays with its founders, a decision motivated by the increasingly fierce competition from companies like Apple and Facebook. You know what, Google? Mr. Brin, I love you. And if you can see me, I'm totally doing the whole bow motion. Please hire me. Seriously, take over the world. Just start making Google cities. Real live Google cities. I will come and live there. It'll be awesome. It'll be amazing. It'll be the best cities in the whole world. Do it. Do it.
Ginger?
What?
Shh, it's okay, baby.
They should. Seriously, they should like buy some like small nations and then start building their own little Google nation and slowly take over the world.
So you're saying there's going to be Wi-Fi there, endless Hot Pockets and Mountain Dew.
Yes.
And hot redheads who change tires. What?
Yes. Yes, yes.
All right, so, wait a minute. This is a long URL. Okay, I hate when they do this. I don't know what to say. Google and Facebook need to kiss and make up.
No. Okay. Facebook, I'm using you, but yes.
I'm using you.
Seriously, once Google gets their shit together, I'm so over you, Facebook.
Well, I already told you, I do like... I like what they're doing at Google Plus. As a matter of fact, this is the only news that I can share because the rest of it, I'm not bound by any type of any other thing than morality. I do have some morals. The ECA is talking about using Google. They're going to cut me. They're talking about using Google as the official home of the ECA from here on out. And that's all I can tell you, being a chapter president, stuff behind the scenes. But everybody loved the idea, so hey, Facebook, you lost out on that one. I was the first one to mention it. they have some great things over there. Those of you who are, especially, you know what, this is the other thing we never mentioned. We actually never did an official review of Google Plus. We've been urging you guys to go over there. And even the guys here, some of them are, you know, they're just default setting Facebook. Ginger's one of them. But one of the other cool things about having it Google Plus is the Hangout feature. Now, I know a lot of you have heard about it. You've seen it on TV. But as a gamer, think of something. You're playing a game with your guild or whoever you want to call it, your super group, whatever it's called, in your game, you no longer have to have a separate client. You don't have to have Ventrilo running on your computer along with your game. You can open your browser and run your Google Hangout and talk to everybody in your guild all at the same time. You can even see each other if you want to. Is that bad? Yeah, Google Plus is that badass. And you don't have to see anybody else. There's nobody that can drop in while you're hanging. These are people you put in a certain circle. So you can put all your guildmates in one little circle, and you guys talk, and then you have your friends, then you have us, because we have to have our own circle. You know, Gamer Girls Radio. So you put us, and that's what you can do. No longer having Ventrilo. This is not to get rid of Ventrilo. Sorry, Ventrilo. But for those of us who are always concerned about using resources on the computer, and I am because I have 50 million things open. I have so many things open, I usually have three computers going. So I have two laptops on either side of a big computer. Word.
That's hot. That's hot. There.
That's busy is what that is. Ah, sadly. But anyway, that's another use for Google Plus. And it has a one-up on Facebook for that reason. Because you can't do that on Facebook. So I'm thinking Facebook is either up for a redesign or you better kiss and make up with Google and try to work it out. All right.
I'm sure Google will mark the spot for you.
Google, thank you for the Angry Birds space. That's all I got to say. I went to visit my local Girl Scouts again Friday, and it kept them nice and quiet. Handed them my phone and said, do it.
That's so nice.
All right. So, Miss Jane, it's my turn.
Okay.
It is be my turn.
Okay.
My bad. I'll pull your red hair. Veteran game designer Jane Jensen launched Pinkerton Road Studio just 2 weeks ago, and this weekend the project's got early backers, got voted to for the first adventure game the studio will make. Drumroll, please, with 61% of the vote. The winner is Mobius. Jane is running a Kickstarter campaign to raise funds. Probably before you heard this, about 30 seconds. She's raising funds for Mobius' development. As of the time that she sent us this lovely PR, they are more than halfway to the 300,000 funding goal that they need. Backer rewards include behind-the-scenes involvement in the development, downloadable and physical copies of Pinkerton Road's games, and design Bibles. Ooh, I want that. From James Gabriel Night Days. Ooh, that is hot, right? More rewards will be added this week, of course. If enough funds are raised, Pinkerton Road will pursue a second adventure game this year as well. If you're wondering what Mobius is, she actually sent us the scoop. Mobius is a metaphysical sci-fi thriller in the vein of the show Fringe. Know that show? James' novel, Dante's Equation, and of course Gabriel Knight is also an influence. It's about an antiquities dealer whose name is Malachi Rector. I don't know if it's a he or she. Oh, yeah, it is a he. He hunts down artifacts all over the world and compiles dossiers on their history. He also has a knack for things, quote. After his upscale Manhattan store is destroyed in a fire, Rector is hired by millionaire Amber Dexter to investigate a series of events and document them in his meticulous way. I love that the millionaire is a woman, Amber Dexter. The first event is the death of a woman in Venice who was found hanging from a bridge. As Rector investigates her life, he soon realizes that this beautiful and talented young woman and the interrupted path of her life had a great hidden significance. It appears that Amber Dexter and his associates are playing with the fabric of life in a way Rector never imagined. Oh, apparently Amber's a guy. Oh, well, okay. I stand corrected. Even he, Rector himself, is part of a larger platform. Malachi Rector must figure out who is doing what and whether their intentions are for ill or for good before he can decide whether to play his pre-scripted role or try to change the outcome. Of course, this is going to be a point-and-click third-person adventure with a 2D graphic novel look. The game will have two modes, casual adventure and true adventure. Casual adventure mode includes revealer and a simplified interface. True adventure will be more of a challenge along the lines of Jane's past adventures, Gabriel Knight and Grey Matter. Assuming Pinkerton Road meets its $300,000 funding goal, Mobius is planned to be released around March of next year. Good luck to Miss Jane. We're very proud of you. We're raising the sign of the G for the girl in the air for you, Hope.
Yes, because the sign of the G is the most awesome sign in the whole darn world. Yes.
Ah, Joe saying he wants one of those coats. You got an iPad, dude? Because otherwise, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so what do we got? Free game time for high-level SWTOR players. If you don't know what that is, people, Star Wars The Old Republic. Players that managed to grind their way to level 50 in Star Wars The Old Republic as of last night, 5 p.m. GMT, got a nice gift from EA, 30 days of free game time.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. BioWare is also offering former SWTOR subscribers the free game time to come back and check out the latest update that was released yesterday. If players reactivate their old accounts before April 21st, BioWare will also give them a legacy Tatooine Ram pet, the same pet it gave to all current subscribers of SWTOR yesterday. All right, so we got a couple of things about the update. Game update 1.2, Legacy is finally here, bringing a wide range of new game features and playable content to Star Wars The Old Republic. With Legacy, you can now create your very own Legacy family tree, sharing the skills mastered by one character with everyone in your family tree. You will also be able to experience new adventures, including the new Operation Explosive Conflict, the Novare Coast PvP Warzone, and much, much more. They also go on to say, we appreciate the support of our community throughout the development of the Legacy game update. As a thank you gift, we are giving all active subscribers as of April 12th, 12 p.m. CDT, 5 p.m. GMT, April 21st, 12 p.m. CDT, 5 p.m. GMT. Seriously, a lot of time. The in-game legacy reward, the Legacy Tatooine Ram Pet, sure to be your new best friend. Yeah, I'm still not coming back. Thank you. No. I had this argument with a friend of mine the other day because he is playing SWTOR and he is doing sort of like a machinima thing, which is kind of cool. But no. There's very few MMOs out at the moment, and Corey's muted or something, that I really like.
Thank you, because I'm just talking. I was like, you're not going back to play? Did you hear me say that? You actually answered me like you heard me, so I didn't even know I was muted.
No. I want to play. I want to play the Secret World, and I want to, of course, play Salem. But beyond that, there are very few MMOs out right now that I would really consider going back to and playing. Aeon, I go back and I fiddle with. Now, I don't play it just a whole lot. It's, I don't know.
You said machinima. You know what? Didn't I say last week I was going to link everybody to the thing I made so long ago?
Yes, and then you didn't.
I did. I thought you saw this.
I have seen it, but you didn't link it for everybody else.
Oh, gosh. This is so old. For those of you who never saw my little, this is in the days when I actually was loving doing some machinima. I still love it. I don't have the time. I come up with ideas, and I'm like, okay, I'll do it, and I don't have time. Like, I started one a couple weeks ago. But I probably won't finish it. Don't have time. But for those of you who have not known us long enough to have seen this,
from the Matrix Online, and I'm posting. Why am I pausing? I'm having issues speaking today. The coffee is making my brain. My brain's always fast, which is why I talk fast, but I think it's fast, well, too fast, yeah, that my mouth can't even try to keep up today.
No, I went and snorted some Sudafed, so I'm
just,
a little better.
You know what?
Yeah. It was spray. It was all good.
Ginger, it's the fact that you said I went and snorted some.
Some Sudafed.
No, I try to raise them right. Hey, Joe Hill, send me a DM. Let me know if you have an iPad. Otherwise, that Unstoppable Gorg key is going to be useless. Yes. Anyway,
And it's so much fun. I hope you do have an iPad because
I do. It is
blast.
Fun. It is fun, and we will have a review of that probably either before Wednesday, because I'm doing the iPad version. And there's another one that we got over the weekend, and another one. That
means
fun,
I kept it on my PC. It's that much fun. Most of these games that I get and I play and I write reviews for, they get deleted immediately. I'm looking at them.
Don't, because Ginger,
No, actually, wasn't that. Okay.
You know why. Don't.
I love y'all.
Wait till after next weekend. Wait till after next weekend. You know what? I can't even say that. The review is already up.
Please don't cut me.
No. Another good one, and we put up Dead Block. And I want you all to play that with me. We will have so much fun. Maybe after we get Blaster back, I'll get you all into play. It's hilarious.
Yay! That sounds like fun.
It's a much more fun.
You have it on Steam or something?
Yeah, it was. Oh God, I can't remember. It's from our peoples at Paradox.
Oh, we love Paradox.
Yeah, but it's kind of like Left 4 Dead, but much more humorous. But it's not just killing the zombies. You all have to keep them out of the whatever house you're in. So you have to try to board up the windows, and they actually break through. So you can't just board it up and go. You have to come back and check it. Somebody has to end up finding the tool. You have to break up the furniture to build the traps and all this stuff. So it's hilarious. And then, you know, of course, you have to fight the zombies off when they grab you. And the only campy part is it's based out of a time period, which is the 50s. So
zombies in the 50s.
Yes. Well, that's where it started. I remember George Romero's thing. It's in the 50s. Anyway, we are all kinds of sidetracked today while you all are sitting there trying to figure out what the hell's going on with us today. We are off.
Yeah, y'all are like, wait, what?
What is going on with you people? Okay, so
you know you love us.
They do. Remember, I want to say last year, it may have been earlier this year, we were telling you about I want to say it's Verizon, was coming up with something called Flexible Electronics.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. And it was actually going to be like a screen and whatnot that's bendable and stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, on their phone. So, but apparently this is going to be a huge, big thing, not just with phones. According to our homie Dean, hello Dean, over at VentureBeat, they're saying that Flexible Electronics, just to tell you a little bit about them, combine graphics, arts, prints, and microelectronics, which enables the machine to literally print circuits on top of plastic materials in the same way that an inkjet sprayer sprays on paper is how it works. They're saying it's taken decades, of course, to get to this point because it requires the invention of a new semiconductor, some new manufacturing technologies, which have to be reused in ways that apply to the new kinds of materials. So they're saying you get much more flexibility at a lower cost in innovation. If you go over to Flex Tech Alliance, there's a picture. I'm sorry, no, there's a picture of the guy who is actually inventing this. The name of the company is Flex Tech Alliance, and they did an interview with him. His name is Malcolm Thompson. Ladies, yeah. he'll be rich at the least. So he said it's...
Oh, that is so wrong.
Hey, they do it. Anyway, he says it's an industry that is nascent but will grow rapidly because we're already starting to see new kinds of applications in plastic memory for toys and sensors for aircraft. So in 2012, he said the market for printed electronics and its cousins will hit around $9.4 billion in sales, according to ID Tech X 2012. Those include organic light-emitting displays used in cell phones, solar cells, radio frequency identification tags, antennae, glucose test strips, e-book readers, and other cool things like printed memory collectible cards. And if you go over to their website, Flex Tech Alliance, you can see the trading cards. I think this is probably going to be the new way they start doing the football and baseball cards. Awesome.
and also printed batteries. So he said, so the printing part is key to making
printed batteries.
Yes, they're a little. You have to see it. It's a little thin, flat strip. Can you imagine with your controller how many you could charge at one time? Like it'd come in a 20 pack, as flat as these are really little flat things, like the size of a gum stick.
That is cool.
Right. So he says the printing part is key to making the flexible electronics easy to manufacture and mass produce. He says it's relatively easy to lay circuitry down on a plastic surface, which can be unrolled as if you were printing a newspaper on paper. As we're talking about something that is really low cost that can be repurposed, this is going to kill the iPad, Kindle, Nook. All of them are going to die once this comes out. If they can actually get a Wi-Fi something inside. Where
yes, that would be so flipping awesome.
Imagine you like your Wall Street Journal. Now people will buy subscriptions because it comes straight to you. It's foldable, and you flip it out, and once you sit there, it actually updates real time, not just on your iPad, but I mean it. Put it this way. I put the iPad in my purse, but I'm always worried about the screen cracking or somebody mugging me because, people see the iPad in your purse, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm holding the purse. Imagine this. I can fold it up. It looks like any other junk in my purse, and when I flip it out, bam. Think about that, guys.
That is awesome. That is so awesome.
They have all kinds of applications. They're talking about sensors in the chest. Gosh, you have to go over and check it out. And the reason why we're sharing this with you, it's geeky, and we don't want you to be surprised when you go in. The next console might be a little flippy piece of plastic.
That is so cool. I love that idea.
Pull out, you touch it. Oh, I love it.
And make it where, I can actually use a dry erase marker on it or something. Just, doodle.
Ooh, hot, right?
Yes.
That is hot.
That is so hot.
That is sexy. It'd be like that newspaper in Harry Potter. That's where I hear they got the inspiration from.
Yes, yes, yes.
I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. All right, political cowbells. There's an app for that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The cheering at political rallies is pretty good, but you know what it needs more of? Cowbell. Oh, my God. This is an odd app for iOS devices that at least deserves a mention, even though it's not a game, nor does it have much use outside of providing information and making a lot of noise. The app is called Cowbell 2012, and its sole purpose is to give users the ability to ring a cowbell at a political rally or out in public. All right, so Cowbell 2012 is the first and only political noisemaker app, yes, political cowbell, incorporating a customizable bell for political events and candidate rallies. This playful app is designed to make noise in support of a political candidate, but also allows users to stream the latest Democratic, Republican, or Tea Party updates through a news and Twitter feed based on the user's political preference. All right, that's the only reason why I'm mentioning this, because some of you people need to actually listen to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let me rephrase this. Not just some of you people. Everybody needs to be listening to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, perfect for the friendly political debate, the eager rally attendee, or someone who wants uniformly news and public opinion about their party. Cowbell 2012 is compatible with iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad, and is available for download on the iPhone App Store. Hey, people over Cowbell, can you get one for my Android, please? Thank you.
Ginger,
what?
Let it go.
Android.
Droid.
Droid. Seriously, but no, I mean, this is cool. I think this is really neat. I mean, you can go there and you can stream all of these events that are going on. It would make it even better if they had a printout, for each candidate. Let us know what their viewpoints are on certain things. Kind of just little bullet points.
I'm going to be quiet.
Corey should totally make that.
I am. Corey's like, do you know how busy I am? Not even that, man. I just need a 48-hour day. Just for a week. Can we just. Just for a week. That's all I need. All right. Unity technology. Unity is on fire.
I know. They're all over the place.
Well, they are literally all over the place because they just opened their Shanghai office. Yes. They're wanting to help expand their presence in China and offer better support to its existing community of developers over in that region. The office will be led by Alan Fu, I love your name, who previously spent 10 years at Microsoft as the Director of Business Development and Management for the Asia-Pacific region. China is the ninth country with a Unity office, joining Canada, Denmark, England, Japan, Korea, Lithuania, Sweden, and the U.S., of course. They say, we've been aggressively expanding Unity into Asia for over a year, and opening offices in Shanghai is a big move for us to meet the high demand in China. We like the aggressive, said Unity CEO David Helgeson in a statement. Partnerships with key Chinese internet firms, agreements, and other local software resellers, and opening of China office are all part of a dedication to support the Chinese development community as intensively as we've supported it in the West. Unity has also signed deals with two Chinese technology companies. China Cash will provide 12,000 servers to help satisfy demand for the Unity web player, while Kihu, and I may be saying that wrong, Kihu 360 will handle the distribution. I think this is excellent. You guys are positioned to be like a gaming superpower. All the games that we got.
Gaming superpower.
Yeah, all of the games that we got in last week to review for the iPad, all done with Unity, every single one of them. And I had somebody, one of my amateur game dev friends mention to me, you know, you should grab Unity. I think the SDK kit is free.
Yeah.
So I'm like, maybe I should. I want to play. I think I'm going to open it up and play with it. So hopefully sometime this week if I can get to it. My week is looks like it's starting off slow enough. I may be able to get some things behind done before Ginger threatens to kill me. Ginger threatens to kill me. Y'all think she's sweet. She threatens. Did she have to do that laugh?
I'll tell you about that. Yeah,
somebody
else commented on that the other day. I'm going to just tell you about that later.
See? Evil.
Mm-hmm. All right, so EA denies report that it will lay off 500 to 1,000 employees. Startup Grind is reporting that based on poor performance from two key franchises, EA plans to slash between 500 and 1,000 jobs from its global workforce. Yeah. Startup Grind reports the cuts were originally planned for April 9th, but the site claims that they were coming very soon. Citing multiple sources, the site claims that EA will cut 5 to 11% of its employees. The site claims that Battlefield 3, which EA shelled out $30 million to market, only generated $13 million in revenue. Star Wars The Old Republic, which received similar treatment, is also not doing as well as expected. The poor performance of these two titles, the site claims, is what's driving the upcoming layoffs. Yes, because EA is where games go to die. I said it.
EA's quickly becoming those people, too.
Yeah. Speaking to Games Industry International, an EA representative denied the report, adding that the company is actually growing. There are no layoffs as such, the company representative said. We always have projects growing and morphing. At any given time, there are new people coming in and others leaving. EA is growing and hiring, building teams to support the growing demand for digital games and services. Knock, knock. Hey, EA, we don't want your origin.
All right, so you hear the music. It's time for us to be on our way. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Remember, you get us twice tomorrow. That will be the morning news, and you get Pixinisto. We got lots of clothes to talk about. And we got to talk about the 60 Lindens people, Ginger, by the way, when we get off the air.
60 Lindens people?
Yes. I found something interesting.
Girl, right there before. Are three fairs going on right now. I went and hit one early this morning while people were still sleeping. Oh,
oh, nice.
So many gifts all over the place. I love it.
You guys know where to find us. GameAndHX.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, Blog Talk Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, also on GamerGirlsRadio.com. We're always on Twitter. Pinterest. Probably be spending some time over there today. See if we
you
can
know
find
what? I don't have an account there yet.
It is invitation only. So you do have an account. You'll be sharing the one we have. Thank you, Ginger. Okay.
Yay!
All right. We'll see you guys. Wow. What you hear going on in the background is Key of Awesome. This is an Angry Birds parody by Adele. If you haven't seen the video, you got to go watch it. Key of Awesome. Absolutely. It is awesome. Hilarious.
You need to turn it up. I can't hear it.
Sorry, you missed it.
Oh, no.
We'll play it again for you tomorrow when we start for it to take loading. Anyway, Ginger, you know what to tell the boys and girls.
Later, boys and girls. Mwah!